let's look at the kinds of drugs that are prescribed. For instance, antidepressants. Isn't there a danger of an overprescription because of what you've said about people's expectations of help as opposed to suffering? But isn't there a danger that drugs are used and not necessarily the underlying cause of that distress examined?
Well, it's always possible, but that's why there are national and international definitions of what depressive disorder actually is and its variants. Now, even if you can identify certain stressors within the person's life or in the environment which has contributed to the person feeling depressed, it doesn't necessarily follow that you can't help to relieve what has been engendered by that stress by biological means, in addition to any environmental assistance, helping with any family conflict, if there's financial problems, trying to help with housing issues. All these things are part of modern mental health care, in addition to, where appropriate, the medication being prescribed.
I'm not saying that people are going to doctors with minor things and getting antidepressants. When people talk about the worried whale or something, I think that's insulting to the level of distress which people experience. But the fact is that the use of antidepressants over the last 10 or 15 years has escalated. And you have to think, why is this? What are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong in either GP surgeries or in society in general? There has to be a big problem if that's happening, but no one seems to be that interested. And of course, the drug companies are, in a sense, delighted. I'm not convinced about any form of medication, actually. I think that it can be quite beguiling because for some people, they will experience symptom relief as a result of taking medication. But often, once you start taking it, it stacks up problems for later. I was interested to just come across quite recently a review of 50 years of research into neuroleptics, which are the drugs that are given, for example, to people who have a diagnosis of schizophrenia. And the conclusion was that overall, the widespread and long-term use of neuroleptics with these people has caused more harm than it has helped.
You've also said that in some countries where less money is spent on treatment, results are... Well, I can't actually remember how you put it, but what is your argument for less money being spent on treatment?
Well, I'm not arguing for less money being spent, but what I am saying is that the World Health Organization found that actually outcomes for people who qualify, if you like, for a diagnosis of schizophrenia, which is a very dubious diagnosis anyway, as far as I'm concerned, are actually much better in poorer countries than they are, for example, in countries like England. There may be a whole load of factors there, one of which is that less psychiatric drugs are used, and that may be the key one. You also have to say that, without kind of resorting to cliche and stereotyping, that perhaps people experience less stigma and alienation as a result of having those sorts of distresses in those countries than they do here, which would then point the way to much more community-based mental health service than the one that still, I think, predominantly looks to drugs as the main form of treatment. I think there are many different ways of dealing with distress, and there's plenty of evidence that the sorts of ways that you can research, like psychological therapies, are more effective and also much less likely to be harmful or dangerous or damned unpleasant, all of which can be said about psychiatric drugs. But beyond that, in a sense, there's everything that the world has to offer. If only we could find a way of bringing that into people's lives. And of course, a medically based NHS service isn't going to do that.
My experience respecting Jim Reid's views that he's just expressed on this are that in many of the cases that reach hospital, and my practice is both in the community and in hospital, the degree of debilitation to the person, and not only to the person, but to those he's living with, the people that are looking after him, are sometimes worn out. In fact, sometimes they complain that we don't admit the patient when they don't know any longer what to do with him. And the longer that the person remains untreated or undertreated, the more likelihood there is of much more serious developments. The experience, I think, uniformly of psychiatrists who work in this field, that we're called upon all the time to intervene, preferably with the patient and the carer's agreement, regrettably from time to time without it. And that's unfortunate, but it's a repercussion of the fact that mental illness is not always the same as physical illness. The person, as they get more and more unwell, they lose the objectivity of their judgment, and they do things which in their normal state of mind they wouldn't do.
But once that intervention is made, how important is it to get the balance right between treating the condition with drugs and treating with alternatives?
I think Jim's right that throughout the whole drug era since the early 50s, we've used cognitive therapy, we've used behaviour therapy, we've used dynamic psychotherapy, which indeed started before the drug era. And all these things are used now, usually in combination with medication, sometimes instead of. But the argument simply doesn't conform to my experience, which is not to say that Jim is wrong, but it's simply out with my experience that in all cases, non-medication type interventions results in a successful resolution of all this distress and symptomatology.
What changes would you like to see to the delivery of mental health services in the next 5 years? What do you think is the key thing you'd like to see changed and why?
I suppose I'd start with things not getting worse. And that means the government getting rid of this ridiculous mental health bill, which it keeps threatening us with, which would mean more people being forced to take medication they don't want. I think it would mean let's stop giving amphetamines to children, which is a kind of current new trend, and do something about the escalation of antidepressants. And that would be a good start. I'd like to see far more staff trained to use psychological therapies. And I'd like to see the knowledge and wisdom of people who have had a diagnosis of mental illness and find ways out of the role of being long-term service users to be really made use of. And this whole business of what expertise people do have because they've been in the system being used properly, not as a kind of tokenistic add-on user involvement exercise that everyone has to tick a box to say they've done, but as something that actually really drives and forms a new mental health service which is not reliant on psychiatric drugs.
Dr. Gordon?
I certainly entirely support the view that mental health professionals need to listen. At the end of the day, I think it's our obligation to use our training and experience, which does at the moment include a prominent role for medication. I would be defensive of that. In fact, I would say that if you said tomorrow that the psychiatric profession can carry on treating mentally ill people, you cannot use medication anymore, you have to use other means, then I think we would be considerably disadvantaged, and so would the patient population. And I don't think that anyone would thank us for that at the end of the day. If you were to say to me, you cannot use medication anymore, I would not have enough confidence that many of my patients would recover sufficiently. Because every day I see these treatments working. Now, I think Jim is quite right to say that there are side effects. In fact, if you have cancer, it's a life-threatening condition. And we shouldn't forget that mental illnesses can be life-threatening conditions. There can be suicides, there can be accidents, rarely there can be homicides. And there's great morbidity associated with mental ill health. So I think it is vital that we recognise that these illnesses are very powerful, and in order to combat them, we have to have powerful means to do so.
But they haven't been very successful, have they? We seem to be kind of focusing at the moment on what the government will call long-term and serious mental illness. Drugs never cure anything. People often don't like taking them. They're often pretty dangerous. They can kill people. People kill themselves while on medication, and people relapse on medication.
I have no doubt that the relapse rate is far lower when a person who's suffering from a mental illness is on the appropriate medication. All of the studies on suicides, completed suicides, have shown that the patient was either not on antidepressants at the time or was on a very inadequate dosage. It's true there are some suicides who are on ordinary doses of antidepressants, but not many.
Well, it's true that people use their antidepressants to kill themselves, and it's also true that people who use the so-called modern antidepressants are sometimes actually develop suicidal symptoms as a result of taking them.
There, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it, gentlemen. Jim Reid and Dr. Harvey Gordon, thank you.